What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewy New Podcast. I am back, episode 243, I believe. And the bad thing is, this thing is back in the podcast with me. Oh my god, it was.
I'm here to rescue everyone.
He was in the swamps. Looking for another leg.
At home watching the disgrace falling upon this show.
That's enough fame time for you. But anyways, guys, hey. We are here on a Tuesday, episode 243. We got a special guest with us today.
My leg.
Not your leg, buddy.
I'm taking it off.
Don't take anything off. We're going to get into this episode. We got some very interesting stuff here to talk about. This is going to be one of the most interesting podcasts I've done in a long time, actually.
This is going to be a very informative show.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewy New Podcast.
Oh, my God.
We have diagrams and questions.
Oh, hell no. That's hell no.
Those first 5 minutes of my life changed.
Because I will be doing a majority of the talking. That's why.
Did he say?
Excuse me?
The Chew and Goo Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewy New Podcast. I am here with my buddy, and we have a special guest with us today. This guy has done some interesting stuff. A couple of documentaries that have already come out. One interesting one that we're going to talk about. But before anything else, let me just introduce the guy. Mr. Josh Morales in the house, man!
What's up? I'm excited. I hear I'm going to get to hold the leg.
Let's not go that far, Josh. Let's not fall into the trap that quick, Josh.
Sorry.
If you want, you can press the button that releases it. Yeah.
You don't want to know where the button is, Josh. Trust me, I got gloves.
I might need those, man.
I'll show you.
Anyways, seriousness here, people. No, but Josh, first things first, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to come over here and play with us on this podcast with some informative stuff that you got going on. I have been following you. I've been stalking you for a while. No, but I've been seeing some of the stuff you post on Facebook, and you got a lot of people that are speak up at you and some of the stuff you put on there. And I was like, whoa. But, I mean, there's two kinds of people on this earth. There's one that just let bygones be bygones and just let it go. And there's others that go, well, I want to know exactly. There's got to be something deeper to this. Yeah. And they keep carving all the way down there till they find what they find. And sometimes they don't like what they find.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but, I mean, that's what makes you a very interesting guest with us today. First things first, we're going to find out where you're from, where you grew up, and how we got into the situation we're in right now.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Let it go. Let's go.
Yeah, so before I jump in, just thank you all for having me. Y'all do a very important thing, which is reach a local audience, which is very difficult for a lot of people. So I commend you because I've done a podcast before, and it's fucking hard, man. making sure the guests show up, and then you're booking them, all that stuff. So
yeah.
I commend you all. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking the time to have me here.
Yeah, not a problem, man. No problem.
So yeah, so I started a documentary film. Well, before that, I was in a digital marketing. I started in 2016, started a company with a buddy of mine. And then from there, we would hire videographers and photographers. And I learned exactly how to do it because I was out without them in the field, right? So I always followed these guys. I learned, I picked up all their stuff. Mm-hmm. And then a year after that, I got kicked out of the company I helped start, which was kind of a good thing because then I wouldn't be able to be doing the things that I'm doing now, right?
Right.
Kind of like a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like it back then, but you go through these things. And I started picking up more videography, so I started selling it to businesses. I did the marketing and advertising through social media. Anywhere you can place a digital ad, I do that stuff, right? I still do it. It pays the bills because I don't care what anybody says. Documentary filmmaking does not pay.
Doing documentary itself, man, I think that's like a, to me, I see it look as a real tough job, man, because you got to really nitpick at everything. You know, you got to really detail everything.
You got to be right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. To the T.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot put false stuff out there. Yeah. You got to put out what you're seeing.
People will fact check you for sure.
Yeah, like I said, going through his Facebook, there was some stuff he was putting out there, and people were like, really like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, wow. Wow. Does that sound like the payaso? Wow. No, but yeah, dude, it's crazy on the stuff that you're doing.
So going back to what you're talking about, the collapse took me 2 years. So a lot of people don't know is I created the collapse, which is a true story of the Queen Isabella Causeway collapse. Right, that was right. 4 years ago.
Right.
It took me about 2 years to do the whole documentary, mm-hmm. to actually do the podcast. We had like 9 different podcasts, mm-hmm. from experts that were out in the water, captains, seaboat captains.
Wow.
We had very good intel to tell a compelling story. Mm-hmm. That went off to win 16 Best Features Awards from around the world.
Oh, wow, man.
Congratulations.
That's awesome, bro.
Second one was Conquista, which is about an artist from Alamo that went to the University of Houston,
yeah.
and he spray painted over $78 million Pablo Picasso in yeah. Houston, fled the country for 6 months, and served 2 years in jail.
Right.
That one went off and won 6 Best Feature Awards from around the United States.
Wow, man.
So I was on a spree. I was like, I can't let the first one go because I need to follow it up with something. That way nobody can tell me I'm a one-hit wonder.
Right. Right.
I had to come up with the second one, and then I didn't find anything that was compelling enough, mm-hmm. that I wanted to spend my time on, mm-hmm. talking about, and then invest another 2 years in what I was doing. Right.
Right.
So then came along, I was in Houston, I took my daughter to a dance recital, and March 27th was when the storms came in. So March 27th, it ravaged San Benito, Harlingen area. And I was looking at it on Facebook, and I just see everybody is like chaos going on here.
Right.
And I had never experienced anything like that. I was on the phone looking at everybody's stuff. I was like, shit, I'm not even home. Like, I don't even know what's going on. Yeah. I can't help anybody. Nothing like that.
Yeah, so I was out of the valley also up in San Antonio, vacation with the family. Yeah, yeah. man. When so I saw that also.
I was sitting there, and I was That's just crazy. Like, I was literally, your dad at a recital, mm-hmm. you're doing nothing. Like, I'm literally, like, my legs are, like, sitting there, like, I'm driving myself crazy. So I was like, I started writing a fictional story, like just writing a script, because I started getting into script writing. Mm-hmm. So I started writing a fictional story about a flood that comes and it kills 100,000 people in the Rio Grande Valley, mm-hmm. and it ravaged everybody. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with like Hurricane Beulah.
Yeah.
Yes. 1967, yeah. it came. Did you know that there were 150 tornadoes that ravaged the area?
I've read reports. Me and my parents have told me about that.
So
also,
the flooding was insane. Yeah. Crazy. So I started writing a story about a new Hurricane Beulah, which is overdue, by the way. So if you think about March 27th, flooding, and then last week we had hail in North McAllen that ravaged El Dorado subdivision.
Yeah.
It blew every single fence that was there. It ruined houses.
Right.
So weather's getting crazier, and we're not even in hurricane season.
Right.
Yeah. So think about that. Yeah. It's mind-boggling what's going on. Uh-huh. So we're overdue for Hurricane Beulah. So going back to that, mm-hmm. I was sitting there writing the story, and I was like, you know what? Forget this. Let me just create another documentary and see what I can do with it. So I started mm-hmm. reaching out to everybody, and it was kind of like one of those things like the day after you're reaching out to flood survivors mm-hmm. and asking, hey, can I have an interview? Kind of seems like you're an asshole.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're creating a documentary that documents the feelings of people.
The facts.
And the raw emotions. Yeah, because there were a lot of people that are affected. So a lot of people opened up and said, you can come and film. I'll give you an interview. And I got a bunch of people lined up. And you'll always find like a little gem in something that they talk about, right? Mm-hmm. So I started collecting more information. And through them, there was like, well, you should talk to this person. You should talk to this person. And it led me to a civil engineer, a commissioner. And then I started piecing together the documentary. And I used AI to help me like kind of just structure everything.
Right.
And this is, I got the documentary done in 25 days. Which is nice. Which is pretty impressive, right? But I used AI mm-hmm. A lot of it for the research, because I can't comb through all these documents and studies and theses that I was presented with.
Right, right.
I my mind just breaks down after I read like a paragraph.
I hear you.
So I started doing all this research, and I was like, oh shit, this is not a story about a flood. Like, this is something bigger, mm-hmm. and it's affecting a lot of people.
Yeah.
So through that, I started finding more information and more information. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is really going on here, and nobody's talking about this.
It
was disheartening, and nobody's talking about it, and I don't understand why. So that's where it led me to the documentary.
Yeah, and you're saying about the whole thing that happened in Dorado, in McAllen, Texas, about the hailstorm and all that stuff, all the winds and
the
stuff.
El Dorado subdivision.
I know back in 20, I believe it was before my son was already 2 years old. It was that 2014, 2015. We were staying with my in-laws in Grajeno, Texas. And that one day, I had just gotten from vacation. Just gotten out of vacation. And we were staying there for the night. And all of a sudden, I hear like water, like someone just turned on a faucet, man, outside. And what the hell? I'm looking outside. I look through the window. It's white. I'm like, what the hell? Why is it so white outside? It's already 9 o'clock at night. So my father-in-law walks out and I walk out and we're looking at, bro, it's like we're at SeaWorld, dude. And it's just water just coming out the roof. Jeez. Like crazy. I'm like, what's going on? And the winds just go back and forth, back and forth. And we're like, this doesn't look right. And my sister-in-law, she lived in Kansas for a while, in Oklahoma for a while. And she goes, guys, get in. Get in, get in, get in. Like, well, what's going on? It goes, everybody into the restroom, blah, blah, blah. Which, we don't know what the hell's going on. All of a sudden, like a minute after we got in, the windows start, they start bouncing. Bro, we went through for, I think it was about a good 2 or 3 minutes of that. My father and I went, and I went outside to go, what was going, because we didn't hear, it was still raining, but not that much. But when we went out there, he has a big steel gate in front of his house. That thing was like crunched.
Damn.
Wow.
Across the street, there was a shed wrapped around the tree. Jeez. Across this way, someone lost a roof. Four mesquites fell down on the middle of the road. Wow. Bro, it was horrifying. It was something that you see in a movie, you know?
Yeah.
And, I went to bed. Because I'm going to go to bed. We'll take care of the morning. Bro, it was horrible. Power lines on the floor, everything. They wouldn't let anybody in. It was flooded to the max. But the beauty, you know, the destruction to seeing that, it was crazy to watch. It was horrifying. It was emotional for my in-laws because it's their home. You know, right. it almost literally got destroyed. But they're lucky for them, nothing hit their house that bad. They did got a couple of leakage in the roof. But the aspect of it afterwards, seeing the community come together and helping each other out, that was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that just this little small community, you know, and then you start seeing red cars and so on and so forth. You know, that's stuff that, you know, when you're saying about documentaries, when you see that, you're like, at that point, I want to write about this, but you're like, nah, better not, because I don't want to put people through the trauma again, you know. Yeah. But what you're doing, when you're talking about this rainstorm that came in with this flood, I mean, having these people, what was their emotions like, man, when you were doing this?
They were question? Devastated. One lady I talked to, and just by happen chance, we were filming on the side of the road, and she was talking to JV, which is a civil engineer that came out on a documentary. He's like, hey, can he talk to you? So we're talking to each other inside her garage. And I was like, hey, can you give me a tour of your house? Mm-hmm. And she's like, sure, come on, let's check it out. So I asked her, she was distraught, but she was still laughing and talking. Right. So I was like, well, why do you have a smile? Why do you feel like you're in chipper spirits?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the last flood that happened in 2022 is when I lost it. Like, I lost everything. I didn't buy furniture for 10 months.
Wow.
So this time, I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know when.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a matter of time. So she's like, after this storm, I'm leaving. Like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm no longer going to have this place.
Right.
So it's a lot of people feel forgotten, for one. A lot of people feel misplaced. And the interesting part about that, too, is it flooded days after in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So she was like, well, if it makes sense, it would have flooded that day.
Right.
But what happened is, and I found this out, is that those cities over there were using one pump that's already messed up. And the cities that never had flooded, or the neighborhoods that never flooded before, are starting to flood because they're pumping water out from one neighborhood to the next neighborhood that had never flooded before.
Yep.
So days later, and I'm not talking about like 2-3 days later, I'm talking about 4 days later, they're still probably dealing with it right now.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Like, they're still dealing with this. And that stuff doesn't go away. It's like going back to what you were talking about with flooding, and this is what I uncovered about with the documentary, is all the stuff that I started uncovering from the reports. And it's not me saying this. I'm just a documentary filmmaker. Right. I'm a peon. I don't know any of this stuff.
You're following facts
facts that have been studied by government officials, by theses, by people that are way smarter than me.
Right.
They documented that in the Arroyo Colorado, the one that we love, that we fish out of every single day, our grandfathers fished out of there, 90-mile stretch from Mission all the way to Laguna Madre. Every city in between, they use it as the arroyo as wastewater. The only reason it flows is because the city's wastewater. So some of that wastewater is untreated. It's supposed to be treated.
Right.
Over 2 million gallons of untreated wastewater are dumped into that Arroyo Colorado.
Wow.
So that's just that, right?
It's that's disgusting. Just the tip.
So,
that's
the tip of the iceberg. Fine. You have to have some wastewater that goes somewhere.
Right, exactly. Right?
So I'm not naive. I get it, fine. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that what happens is that there's other chemicals in there. Yes. There's PCBs, there's DDTs, there's stuff that is banned, pesticides that are still being used to this day that are being dumped in there. And what happens when it floods, that Arroyo Colorado comes up and it floods into the city. So if you don't know this, let me just give you a fact here. Mm-hmm. The Rio Grande Valley is a floodplain. There's 82,000 houses and 300 facilities that are schools, hospitals, all that stuff, businesses that lie within that floodplain. So mm-hmm. you're talking about 82,000 homes, with maybe there's one person in there, four, six, I don't know, Mexican base, probably
right.
12,
right, whatever. Right.
Well, all those people live in this area, and when it floods, those that wastewater, those PCBs, those DDTs, mm-hmm. all goes up into the area, floods their homes, stays in the sheetrock. When it dries out and they clean it,
right.
it goes into the air, it turns into mold, they breathe it in.
Right.
So those trace amounts of all that stuff get into your body. If you have a flesh wound that's open, you can get flesh-eating bacteria, which mm-hmm. has already been documented. Mm-hmm. So there's these things that keep coming up over and over and over again. And when you get exposed to these things over long periods of times, you develop cancer. You develop right. respiratory disease, right. heart disease. Mm-hmm. You get asthma. So the Rio Grande Valley has one of the highest levels of asthma in children. This is documented. Mm-hmm. They have 30% higher chance of leukemia here in the Rio Grande Valley. They have 55% more higher rates than the entire United States for cervical cancer. Wow. So putting this together, like, I'm not a researcher. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a mm-hmm. scientist. Mm-hmm. But I can put patterns together.
Right.
Like if the flooding keeps happening, people get exposed. It's environmental exposure that people mm-hmm. are getting exposed to
right.
over and over. And it doesn't happen immediately. You've been exposed to this your whole life.
Right. Yeah.
So it builds up, And people that would never are super healthy, they develop cancer one day. And they're like, well, how did I get this? They're talking right. to the doctor. It's like, well, you just had bad luck. So.
Right.
No, it's not. It's not bad luck.
Yeah, it's just
like nobody's pointing to the problem, which is the Arroyo Colorado, which is highly contaminated,
right.
and the Rio Grande River, which is another highly contaminated
yeah,
place.
Of course. Yeah.
And I don't understand why like nobody wants to talk about it. Well, and I feel
I was just going to mention too that it's also not a coincidence with all the growth that we've been experiencing. How many times have we seen like a labor? You know, that used to be a field where they planted corn and other things are now becoming housing, you know, subdivisions. So, you know, some of those chemicals have never been treated or removed from that area.
They stay in the mud.
They stay in the mud.
They stay, and all that stuff,
right? And then they just build right over it. And mm-hmm. all those things eventually come leaching out through the ground, too.
Right.
When it rains, when it's windy, it's always windy. And yeah. It's always hot. So it's always in the air. So, of mm-hmm. course, it's going to be, you know, affecting people. But again, like you say, for some reason, that's just swept under the rug.
Yeah, there was a study I wanted to share with you all about Cameron County. I believe they released, and this is in 2023, so it was recent, 2023. They released 33,000 pounds of carcinogens into the air mm-hmm. versus, I think it was like 75,000 the year before. Mm-hmm. So it went up 138%. So you ever have a problem breathing in Cameron County, there's a reason for it, because the air is highly polluted. People are literally going to suffocate. And I'm not doing this to doom and gloom everybody.
Right, no.
Because a lot of, when I post these things, people are like, well, you're just being a Debbie Downer. And like, why are you even talking about this? Like, people would rather me not talk about this.
No, but that's just how people are.
Yeah.
You know, people,
and it's disheartening, though.
It is disheartening. And you'd rather just live in the bliss of ignorance. But you need to know these things because it will land on your doorstep.
Yeah, it will. Because, I mean, consider the fact our culture down here, when people start uncovering stuff and it's the truth, you always had one person, por pedo, no mames, no que este vato. This guy knows what he's talking about. And the in seriousness inside, like, this guy might know something, and you know what, I'm going to tear him down so he can just shut up about it. But it's truth that we need to know, you know, because we as a person that lives in the RGV needs to know exactly what are we standing on.
Yeah.
I mean, what's what's under the soil that we don't know about? Yeah.
Well,
you know?
Too, I mean, we're a very, very health compromised population.
Yep.
You know, how many people in the valley have diabetes? Mm-hmm. And when you're a diabetic, you have, you know, and you have a compromised immune system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that can, if a normal healthy person can get cancer just out of the blue, you know, from the environment, imagine what's going to happen to someone else who has an increased risk.
Yeah.
When exactly. I talked to the scientist he did the study, one of the studies on the Eloy Colado, like mm-hmm. he was the guy that did the study.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me that everybody here has already been exposed to the chemicals. So right. there's it's in your blood system at some point.
Yeah.
The problem is when either your immune system goes down and your immunity goes down, that chemical can get released, or when you get too old, that wall breaks down and it gets released, and then right. now you have those exponential problems that you're going to have that can right. develop into cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just whoever is here has been exposed to it. Like my kids, like my daughter was asking me, like, why am I doing this? And I was like, well, she's 14. And I was like, well, if I don't do this, like, if I don't talk about this, like, I can't live with myself.
Right.
Knowing that if you get cancer one day and I stop talking about this, like, something could have happened better, right?
Yeah,
it's true.
So I was like, I have to do something. And I didn't want to be the person to find all this information. Like,
I mean, it's all there. It just takes time for somebody to actually piece it together, you know. That one person, like I said, two types of people in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one that says, "Oh well, it is what it is," and the other one goes, "No, I want to know why this is happening." And that person starts digging as far as they can to find out. And then when they do find out, that they don't like what they find, and they have to tell people, "Hey, man, this is what's going on."
Yeah.
And while the other guy, "No, man, you don't know nothing, bro. Just live your life, yeah. But we're all gonna die one day." Yeah. That's the attitude.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the attitude. And it's sad, man, because there's so much, not just here in the RGB, but all anywhere in the state of Texas, even outside the state of Texas, the whole USA, you know, there's so much chemical, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've spilled as humans, I mean, making chemical to treat our plants, to fix clothes, shoes, caps, anything, even
Teflon
stuff.
Teflon and the...
Everything, even to the stuff, the equipment we're using right now, it's all chemical.
We've got microplastics in our blood already.
Yeah,
it's already in our blood.
Exactly.
What
now? Grow, freaking become mutants or something? I don't know.
I'll grow 6 fingers in so I can be a better football
player
or something, man.
See if you stick to the wall.
And I've been told that before. It's like, who cares? Like, we're all going to die for something. But I think the problem with that statement is there's an elevated risk for everybody in the Rio Grande Valley. When you get 30% more cases of leukemia, 55% more cases of cervical cancer, I mean, that's high levels. It's not like you get 5% or 10%.
Right.
You're talking about 55% increase like in cervical cancer here in the Rio Grande Valley.
We're one of the highest rated down here, aren't we, as far as that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. It's crazy.
And I think also, people have, like, maybe it's called survivor's remorse, where they've gotten cancer or something, and they don't even want to look at or hear about it anymore.
Right, right.
Until it affects their kid or
exactly.
something. But then even at that point, it's like, no, you'll be fine. Just keep going. Because that is a Mexican mentality. Like, you keep going.
Right.
And I'm not naive. I get it. You have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, you have other things to fucking do.
Exactly.
Cancer is not one of the things that I'm going to be worried about every single day.
Right.
Or the Arroyo Colorado and all this stuff. Like, I have shit to do, man. Like,
yeah, exactly. I got stuff. I got bills to pay.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I think this valley deserves to know, like, what's here.
Yeah. So. No, it's true. I mean, what you're saying is true. This documentary you're working on, and you said it won't be available till after September.
September.
And this is going to the International Film Festival?
Yeah, the South Texas International Film Festival and also the CineSol.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's in September and then in December. And that's why I'm kind of, I was pushing the documentary, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I was like, fuck, man, I feel like such an asshole. Like, I'm putting these stats and stuff, and then I put the Before We Drown, Joshua Moore's documentary. I was like, you know what?
He's just promoting his film, bro. Chelato, Bufel. I hear you.
So I was like, you know what? Let me just start sharing the facts.
Right.
And at that point, like, the documentary became secondary.
Right.
But it is a marketing tool that will get we'll reach a different audience because there's something that happens with film.
Right.
Like when you're able to sit down for 40 minutes, watch a documentary that is like you didn't know anything about, like you're forced to sit there and watch it.
Right.
And you're forced to learn. Because I know a lot of people who love documentaries. Like yeah. I love watching documentaries.
I like watching documentaries myself.
So it's like.
Serial Killers, but it's a documentary. But,
but you learn something.
To learn something. Oh, baby, don't watch the film, babe. Don't watch this episode.
All right. Taking notes.
If you find a leg in the closet, you know what?
That's mine. It's mine. I want it back.
There's a leg left on site.
Door jar, baby. Door jar. No, but it's true, man. I mean, now, growing up, did you see yourself wanting to do this? Or was there something else in the future?
My job allows me to live like a digital life, so I get to work a lot from my computer and I get to see my clients every now and then. So I work that way. It's allowed me a lot of time to research and get into things that I'm interested in. The older I get, the now I'm into politics and all this stuff. So it's like,
Ain't that weird?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird, right?
It's so weird.
It's so weird that you're at a young age. I mean, I didn't start getting into politics probably like I was in my mid-40s.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why am I into this crap? I never paid attention
it's
to
entertaining
this.
Why am I watching though, this man. Shit?
Oh, my God. I go, what happened today?
Babe, what's CNN?
Yeah. It's weird because is what he said correctly. I mean, when we're young, we're like, okay, the world is our apple. We're gonna do whatever the hell we want. We're gonna take advantage, live life fully,
as much time as you think.
And then all of a sudden, you're getting in your 30s. Like, I still got time. Still have a good time. You get into your 40s. Okay, and start concentrating on because we're getting to what we want to get to. And then when you're reaching 50, like I am, you're like, what have I done? Yeah. What's going on? What am I gonna leave behind for my kid, for my nieces, my nephews? I mean, bro, oh my God, my life went by me like that. I ain't do shit.
Isn't it scary how fast time passes, though?
It flies by. It flies by super fast.
Scary.
So, I mean, but, and that is, so in your younger days, like I said, going back to where you grew up and all that, did you see yourself doing this?
No, I really didn't know what I was going to do. I worked at Dairy Queen. My dad owns Dairy Queen and Mercedes, so I grew up
there. Guess what we're going after the podcast?
9-piece chicken basket for you guys.
Yes! I'll have the dude.
I bet you will.
Shut up, dude.
Don't talk about the train
you're talking about with someone today. Anyways, back to the podcast here.
Yeah, so I grew up there, and I remember my dad telling me one day that I would never make more money than I would there, and I was like, oh, okay. Then I shortly left after that. I was like, because I'm that rebellious person.
Right, right, right.
So I had to go and see things. I remember I would work the window every single day, and I was like, man, I've never had a lunch break. Like anywhere else, what is that like? But now I eat in my fucking car on the way to the next place. So I don't know what's worse, but so it's allowed me freedom. It's allowed me, and I talked. I was kind of burdened with this because I was like, I didn't want to learn all this information. I would have been better naive about this,
right?
Like living my own life, whatever. Mm-hmm. Not even worried about this,
right?
But it's kind of a privilege to be able to sit and think with information that you can comb through and learn and observe and kind of piece together the things that a lot of people just don't have time for because everybody's busy. So with AI, it's allowed me to comb through a lot of these things and think about it a little bit deeper than I would regularly just on face value, like of a headline or something like that. So is it a privilege? And I understand, like it's a lot of information. I can distill it down into how I can understand it.
Right.
And a lot of people are like me, learning headlines.
Right.
Stuff like that. So.
Yeah. And I've seen you on other podcasts before. I've seen you on a couple of podcasts that were before ours. And I've seen some of the interviewers, man, they're like, I'm gonna throw myself under the bus. I don't research shit. I'm just going by the fly.
Really?
Look who's talking.
Really?
Did you study on?
Who is that guy?
Who is he again? No. And the thing is, like I said, I had been following you on some of the stuff you had on Facebook, and I'm reading all this stuff, but I'm looking at all these podcasters that they're interviewing. I mean, they're like shooting you questions like this and that and this, and you're like, and I'm seeing you like, you're going like, yeah, here, this is what you want, this is what you want. And you come here, and I'm like, hey, man, you dish out. What do you want to say? No, I want to hear. I want to, because yeah. I like to sponge off of
sure.
stuff like this, man, because yeah. it's intriguing. It's like watching a documentary live.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's what the beautiful part about our podcast is. Everybody that comes in here, we learn a lot from them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a true story about them and what yeah. they're doing, what inspires them to do what they want to do.
Yeah, well, this is the Valley, man. Like, it's our home. Like,
exactly.
This is my family's here. My friends are here. My
right.
new friends are here.
Right.
So it's like, if
did you hear that? We're new friends, buddy.
If people, yes. Well, I work with a nonprofit, so I work with a.
Never mind. No longer friends. No.
I need some volunteers, guys.
Give him your leg.
Wait.
Your leg.
Wait. Wait, remember Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen. Sorry, we're volunteers.
So I work with the nonprofit Fundación Amor Infinito, and we serve the people that are in the colonias. So
right.
There's 500,000 people that live on the Texas-Mexico border across that. So 500,000. There's 150,000 people that live just in Hidalgo County. So 150,000 people live in colonias that are directly in Hidalgo County.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that we serve. And I was kind of like, if those people start dying off, and like, who are we going to help? So I was kind of right. like, I felt compelled to tell this stuff, to talk about it. And I get pushback from a lot of people that I shouldn't be talking about this. But, I mean, fuck them, man.
That should strengthen you even more, because, like, why do you not want me to talk about this?
Right.
Like, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Because this is obviously an important situation, and it needs to be talked about. I mean, if we're talking about people's health, and people should know whether they decide to bury their head in the sand. Well, that's their prerogative.
Damn ostrich!
Let me ask you guys this. Do you think that there'll be an effect out of this, like this campaigning that I'm doing?
Well,
yes.
What you have right now, and I'm going to post this up so you guys can see this, you have a sign a petition going on right now. There's a QR code there. You want to, this is a bringing... It says that human rights are being violated in the RGV, in the Rio Grande Valley.
Would you mind if I explain that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So during the documentary, I thought it was just now I'm exposing the Arroyo Colorado and the Rio Grande River and all the pollutants. And then I started, a friend of mine that would be working on a book together about this specific thing, his students made a documentary off it.
Oh, wow.
And they were talking about how the human rights were being violated. So back in the 90s in Brownsville, there was I think it's called I forget what it is. It's babies were being born without parts of their brain and their skull. So this is from the contamination, environmental toxins and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that happened a lot in the 90s.
Anencephaly.
And there you go, there
encephaly.
You go. So that happened, and his kids made a documentary off it, and they were talking about how the human rights are being violated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, let me see if this qualifies for having your human rights violated. And indeed, the way the United Nations has their criteria, which is the rights to clean, healthy, and sustainable environment, the right to safe and clean drinking water, the right to sanitation, the right to health, the right to adequate housing and infrastructure, the right to non-discriminatory and environmental justice. The Rio Grande Valley hits every single one of those. So that means 1.4 million people in the Rio Grande Valley are having their human rights violated right now. And I don't say that lightly. I'm not the guy that's like, hey, your human rights are being violated.
Right.
I'm not that dude, trust me. But
he was the guy standing outside with a sign.
That's a big statement.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I came across this, and everything goes back to having our human rights violated. And that's why I think is like, is anything even going to happen from this? Because that's a big deal. Like, it's a big, huge undertaking. You want to help 1.4 million people in the Rio Grande Valley? It's like, yeah, whatever, dude.
Right.
Like, does the government even care enough? Do the city people even care enough?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. And that's why I have 1,000 signatures, and I feel like, it's just, 1,000 signatures. There should be 85,000 signatures.
We might blink at it. Yeah, exactly. I got you.
82,000 people, or 83,000 people and 300 facilities are within the floodplain. There should be that many signatures on this thing, because there's the one that are going to get affected over and over
exactly.
and over again.
Exactly.
So if that many signatures are on there, then that's going to go to lawmakers and say 85,000 people are saying, we need help. So at that point, I feel it can't be ignored. But at 1,000, it's like you're a concerned citizen. You have 1,000 people that are concerned.
Yeah.
Hi. Bye.
Right.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's like I feel like I've hit a brick wall, and I know with the campaigning and with your all's help, it'll help push this campaign. But I just feel I'm getting a little bit more. I'm losing faith every single day that it's nothing's gonna happen. It's just going to be forgotten, and people are going
to
go.
Well, you need to first break through people's apathy. I mean, the people that have been hit the hardest are the ones that you really do have to convince, because how many times does a house have to be flooded from a storm that comes through once or twice a year or a decade or whatever?
Right.
And, you know, you get a little bit of help here, a little bit of help there, but you know it'll just happen again. Yeah. Instead of fixing the actual problem, what the actual problem is, you know, you're just giving little bandage aids. Yeah. At some point, you're just like, okay, fine, whatever, you know, as long as I can get back to where I was, you know, when this first started.
Right, as fast as possible.
Fast as possible. Yeah. That's a type of apathy that people have. It's like, I don't want it to get better. I just want it to get back to where it was before, as fast as possible. Exactly.
And plus, you got the older generation that says, no, pues, pasó, what happened? Acabo, you know, se pasa otra vez, ya sabemos.
That's another thing you have to get through, is like, get past all of that, because, that's another thing, like, since we're kids, even, you know, me and Ooh, we can tell you stories about, you know, our parents, you know, did they want us to go to college? You know, did they want us to be engineers or not? No, we just stay here in the valley, you know, work at a lumber mill or, you know, find some job working at Home Depot or something. That's fine, you know. Yeah. Don't set your expectations too high. Mm. You know, that's in the culture too. Right.
Yeah, so you gotta
work through that.
Yeah. You have to bust out of that stereotype. Yeah. Is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
And it's true. Some of the ones that need to sign this petition are the ones that have been affected by it the most.
Yeah.
They go out there, they put their name on it, but like I said, you always have that one person in the family or that one person in that household. No me pa qué? ¿Qué van a hacer? No van a hacer nada.
Yeah.
And then that gets imprinted to the people that want to sign. And they're like, well, maybe they're right. They're not going to do nothing.
Yeah.
But until they actually step out of the shadows and say, you know what? Let's try to move on this. Then
In one voice.
Exactly. Yeah. You'll get that snowball effect, you know, and suddenly it gets so big, these politicians, whoever they're in charge of that, they're going to say, okay, we need to listen because, you know, elections next month, you know?
For sure.
I think that's where you have to hit them the hardest right there, Josh. Election day.
It's midterms.
Would you like to sign a petition? Future mayor?
Even then, I mean, they're going to have their own, you know, I'd rather focus on border security, because that's more important, because God knows, you know, we got a freight train of coke running through here every day. You know,
I think at this point, cocaine is a lot safer than
the cocaine oil.
It's
all natural. And it's delicious.
Somebody's going to be watching this podcast. Ahorita vieja, gano kilos. It's going to be okay.
You live longer. No, don't quote me.
Que kilo, que kilo.
Puro, que mix que nada, 30 kilos. El 7-up tiro la chingada. No, but it's the truth, man. You know, all this stuff that happens happened in our backyard.
Yeah.
As something being a resident of the RG for so many years, like Chew here, I'm pretty sure yourself also, seeing that happen, and now that you're trying to stand up and say, hey, you know what? Like I said, you get older, you start noticing more stuff that you didn't realize when we were younger. You know, when we were younger, we had more energy to do it. You know, we were pushing it like crazy.
Yeah.
But now that we're a little bit older, like, dude, you know, this is something we need to approach. This is something we need to stand up and say, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about this? And like I said, the older generation is slowly, you know, flaring out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now you got the Generation X coming up, and they're like, hey, man, we got to fix this shit.
Because
it's got to get done.
We're already exposed to it. Our children that are alive now have exposure to
it.
So it's not for... It's for our children's children.
Yeah,
and their children.
Exactly.
So if we clean it up now, it'll take 10 to 15 years. Like, that's how long it'll take to clean this up. But it has to be done now because it will just continue. It has
to start now.
And think about this, too, is that McAllen is set... The Rio Grande Valley is set to double their population by 2040. So you're talking about 1.4 million people. There's going to be a lot more people that are going to be here in the Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot more sick people.
Yep.
So if this thing doesn't get fixed now or we just even start talking about it at a grander level... You're going to have so many sick people here. Those rates that I was talking about, 55% cervical cancer, 30% leukemia, those numbers are going to shoot up even more.
And you know, and you say those numbers, and this is me talking conspiracy, and you go, consider the fact, I mean, being part of a medical field or being the medical board, you go, shit, we got that. We got to build another hospital, and we're going to make some more money. The more people that get sick, the more money we're going to get.
Yeah. Well, how many hospitals have been popping up here left and right?
Well, they're slowly popping up.
Yeah,
they're like little mini, like drive-through hospitals now.
Yeah,
it's crazy, man. Before we go into it, let me got a shout-out to our sponsors, bro, because they got some bills to pay here. Big shout-out. Let me go ahead and remove it. I'll put Leaf Chew on here because... Unfortunately, they got to see his stupid ass. big shout out to Triple J Plumbing. Give Juan a call at 956-854-9622. Jerry at 956-478-5316. These are licensed plumbers. They do residential homes and all that good stuff.
Commercial, also medical. Medical,
right? Medical.
They handle medical waste.
There are licensed plumbers. These guys are great. I know we're supposed to have them on the podcast.
Yes, they've been invited.
Yeah, back. I think next month.
Yes.
So that one's going to be a very they have a lot of crap to talk about. Oh, literally.
Can't wait. but, bring a spoon, buddy.
Bring a spoon because someone's getting fed. It ain't going to be me. But tune in for that one. Let them know tune in saying don't forget your crap is their bread and butter. Also, big shout out to Anonis Construction 956-363-7195. Called Tony. They do reconstruction and renovation for commercial and residential. These guys are amazing. They are the carpenters that they can do basically anything, guys.
It's a family business.
It's a family business
owned and operated.
Yes. They are constantly busy. If you're trying to get a hold of them, they don't answer. Just leave a message and they'll get back to you ASAP. This is the guy you want in your corner when you're building your home. They're great, great people, great company, man, and they'll give you the best prices that they can do for you. And let them know Chunu sent you. So we're coming back to the podcast here. Let me put Josh back into the picture here because Josh is the main guy. You get out of that big picture. There you go. We got David Garcia saying, I know these people. Yes, you do, buddy.
Yo, what's up, man? Dave?
And I got our number one fan, Louie. So, Louie. You happy? You happy? Yes. They call him Matu. Yes, all right, Louie, I got you. And put that on there so they can read what the hell I'm talking. She's putting LOL, all that good stuff. There you go. But going back to this right now, so I want to kind of rewind and fast forward to what we're talking about, where you grew up and where you come from, where you came from.
First, I want to talk more about this Dairy Queen. this is fascinating.
See, you brought this onto yourself. So you should have never said that.
See, if these guys show up, don't fucking serve them. I've never met them in my life.
You see those guys on the podcast? Don't serve them.
What do you do with all the toast?
You're going to show a screenshot of us. It's like, who is this guy?
Especially the guy with the one leg. He's diabetic. Don't give him crap.
I know you're in there. Turn the lights back on.
It's 4 o'clock. You're always upset. Anyways, I want to rewind and talk about this bad boy. Because you say you interviewed quite a few people for this documentary. And then I'll put the picture up right here. The Collapse. The True Story of the Queen Isabella Crosway documentary. You can watch it now on YouTube, you said?
Yeah, it's free on YouTube.
Free on YouTube. Now, you can see all the awards that were given here or nominated for.
Those are actually winners.
They're all winners.
Yeah, they're all winners.
Damn, dude. That's I'm proud awesome. Of that. Las Vegas Hollywood Golden Award. New York movie. Hey, New York, what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
New York, where's our award, New York? No, I'm just joking. But when you release this bad boy, finally to the public, now that it's already said and done and everything, and people are watching it, because I know you have to be there to watch it when it's being released, and people are watching it. I still remember that collapse. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Those people that were killed on that accident, people that almost fell over themselves and were able to survive that accident. When you're in the setup showing the movie off for the people that are there watching, do you get a lot of emotional reactions when they're watching this? I mean, seeing that actually happen right in front of you.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind when that's being happening?
It's a surreal thing because I got to meet a lot of the people over the 2 years that I was studying in, mm-hmm. working on this project. So a lot of people I got to meet and know a lot about their lives. And mm-hmm. when they actually see it for the first time, they see themselves on the screen or something like that. It's a very emotional thing. It's a weird feeling to be able to present your work to people that lived through that thing.
That's crazy.
It's a very weird thing, but at the same time, I've always gotten the same thing. It's like, you did a great job. Thank you for telling my story. Right. Thank you for telling our story. Rob was the main guy. Rob told that story so impeccably well. That's why I feel like it was a story. It's not because of the filmmaking or the videography or anything like that mm-hmm. won these awards. It was literally because of the story, the storytelling mm-hmm. that he was able to tell the story so well. It compelled the audience to come along for the journey.
Right.
And it was an hour and 15 minutes. Like, it feels like you're watching something for 30 minutes. That's how good the storytelling is. It condenses it down in your mind like it's 30 minutes long, but it's actually an hour 15.
Right.
So it was a very special story that a lot of people had questions to that finally got answers good. 20 years later.
Yes, yeah. And the reason I bring that up is because you see the reports on TV. Oh, this happened. There was the cement way was loose and they collapsed. Others saying it was a tugboat coming in and mm-hmm. hit it, nicked it, knocked it down. Right. I mean, he was drunk, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what happened? Yeah. What exactly happened? And there's so many stories. No, me la comadre tiene una hinche polla afuera, se cagaron todos los hijos, tumbaron toda la chingada. No, no, it wasn't that. You know, it's something that was emotional for the whole RGB when that happened. It was a scary thought. It was a scary moment.
Well, when it happened, too, you got to remember when it happened. It was just after the...
9/11.
The 9/11.
3 days after 9/11.
So, yeah, that's also something else that kind of scares you a little bit. You're like, shit. Yeah. They just knocked down the bridge.
There were still people when we were filming it that they had gotten attacked by 9/11. Like it was, they thought that it was terrorists.
Yes.
Like, no, this is not how it happened.
Yeah.
No, and I don't want to ask how it happened because I want to see this. I want to see the documentary itself.
It's compelling.
I gotta jump into that
because there is a spiritual aspect to this that we uncovered. I won't ruin it for everybody, but there was a spiritual aspect that I told Rob. I was like, I'm not gonna put this in unless we find documentation about it. Mm-hmm. And we found documentation about it. And it ended up in the documentary. I think the Rio Grande Valley is very highly Catholic and Christian and religious. They'll gravitate towards what I'm talking about.
So, man, I got to check that out, dude. Yeah. And I'll tell you another story later on about that, the whole thing on the island thing, because I've seen stuff.
Oh, my God, you hit a pelican, dude. Who cares?
No, it wasn't a pelican. It was an eagle.
No.
A brown eagle. No.
It was a pelican.
It was this big.
No. He hit a pelican. Dude. Won't shut up about it.
No, so, I mean, and I'll even say right now, before my wife and I were married, we would go to Corpus Christi a lot. And there's a certain park there on Shoreline Drive that they have there, and they have a pier there we can go fishing. We're coming down in our bikes, coming down this long hill, you know, like nothing, right? And
making out.
No, not even. That was later. No. No, we're coming down the hill, and we did the whole ride. We're coming back. And while we're coming back, we stopped in that park, and my wife goes, how did they put that Virgin Mary out there? I go, what Virgin Mary? Right there. And when I look, literally, if I'm lying, I'm dying, that thing looked about at least 30 feet high and like 15 feet wide.
Wow.
Huge. In the middle of the water. I'm like, what? And I saw people falling to their knees and they were probably like, this is weird. What's going on? And, you know, I thought nothing about it. Okay, there's probably somebody showing, someone shooting an image up there. But come on, this was back in, 2000, not even 97, 98.
Wow.
We didn't have that technology yet. At least I didn't think we did.
Right.
But seeing that, I was like, that's weird. Never thought about it. So we went about the day. Then when we turned back to look.
Wow, gone.
Gone. Never talked about it till right now.
Wow.
And then when you say something spiritual like that, there's like I believe there's stuff being in as far as like that region area.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man.
If you, like, you know, what Josh was saying about how we haven't had a hurricane. you know, my mom was always saying that we are blessed. Mm-hmm. We are blessed that, you know, it always, you know, we've had hurricanes that swing just to the south, Jesus, just man. To the
just
north.
Miss us. Yeah.
It just barely misses us, and it, you know, that's got to be some kind of somebody's watching out for us.
No
and,
kidding, you know, dude. No kidding.
We're grateful for it.
It was crazy because we just got that March 27th flood. Then last week, the hail over there, horrible rain. This week, I think tomorrow's supposed to be the hottest part in Texas or something like that. There's something going on. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, something's going on.
Not throwing names on there, Elon.
For real.
You and your damn rockets! No, but...
And that's another thing, too, is like, we're talking about pollution.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to get this water from Mexico from the 1944 treaty that they owe us. So Mexico is going to release that. Where is it coming from?
Yo, where the hell is that
coming from? It's coming from six polluted rivers that are in Mexico.
Puro calabro.
So, yeah. I mean, at every angle, we're getting bombarded with pollution.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a matter of time. And I hate to say this because I was in Harlingen at a city meeting, and there was a bunch of kids that they're getting awards for their swimming team and their volleyball team and stuff like that. And they were all taking pictures with the mayor and everybody. And I was just looking at them. I was like, man, they don't even know what's going on. Like, it's so saddening to me. Like, mm-hmm. I see big groups of people. I was like, if they only knew, like, what is really going on here. Like, it's saddening because they're having the time of their lives. They're celebrating.
It's all publicity, bro. It's all publicity. It, meaning in the eye of the public, oh, they're doing a nice thing there. Oh, they did this.
Well, I don't doubt that they're doing good things for the community. But
the bigger picture, like what you're saying, you know, come on. How long has it been since the levees have been repaired? Those things are not going to hold up. It's like building a sandcastle. It's only going to work for about a couple of minutes. After a while, it's going to tumble and go away, and it's going to overflow.
What always happens whenever there's a storm or there's flooding or anything? Oh, the next time we'll be ready. We'll be ready. And then what do they do? Oh, they move some papers around. They move some stuff around, and then everything stops.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can drive by any canal, what do you see? It's full of garbage. It's full of plants and materials. Oh yeah, those are being maintained. Those are being maintained. Bullshit.
And the people do have to do their part because there is a huge problem with people just dumping stuff.
Dumping the garbage.
Like,
yeah.
People are responsible. It's not just cities or what the storms like that. Everybody has to do their part because if you don't do it, nobody's gonna do it.
Right. It starts at the top. Yeah. If you would actually give people a place to throw their mattresses or their tires, you know, without charging them, you know, an arm and a leg, then they would. Yeah. You know, nobody wants that junk just everywhere.
Lord knows we have the Mount Garbage Land of Donna over here that's about at least, 70, 80 feet high in the air?
Dude.
Come on, bro.
You know that they're starting to sell the land around that for housing.
That's ridiculous. Oof. That's ridiculous.
With how polluted the ground is around there.
Well, that brings up the about the Donna Lake. So there's a study.
Talk to me. Talk to my neighborhood, bro.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with Donna Lake, bro. Como dice mi tío, lo quemas, se quita la química, bro.
Just don't drink the water or eat the fish.
Too late. We got a buddy who lives right next to Donna Lake. And he's fine.
Totally fine.
For the most part.
Just don't look at his third eye.
Well, there was a study done by Texas A&M that they found in the drinking water in Alamo and Progreso that they found in 100% of all the studies that they did, all the samples that they found lead, arsenic in all of them.
Oh, shit.
So this is not like little levels. They're levels that... Buy bottled water, people. Bottled water. So it's something that Texas A&M, these Baylor University, these people are doing studies off of something that's going on here.
Right.
It's a big deal.
It is.
Like, it's not like it's also UTRGV that we're in an environment that is highly polluted that something needs to be done. Right. Like, it just needs to be done at this point. Like, something has to happen.
And it's true because we need to clean it up. What do we use to... You think I'm going to go out and buy a package of bottled water to water my tomatoes or water my corn or whatever.
Or to take a bath or to wash your car.
Yeah, man. This is stuff that we all literally water from the faucet. We wash our dishes with it. Yeah. I mean, consider the fact we are using soap. Doesn't mean it's going to take everything off.
It's not going to wash lead off.
There's trace chemicals.
And that goes back to what about filtered water? Well, there's still trace particles in there that over time it builds up.
Yep. Right.
So it's just one of those things that I think people need to be more aware of, of how they get bottled water, purified water. It's just do as the best you can to lessen your contamination.
Yeah. No. And for another example, I have where I work. I work in a hardware store, and I have customers that tell me, "Hey, I got my faucet. It has all this rust and lime, blah blah blah." Plumbers say, "Oh, that's the amount of iron that the water has in the resin value." That's not what it is. it's something else.
But I think people aren't so naive to it because they know their water stinks. Smells and looks cloudy. If you look at it, it's like, well, I'm not drinking that. I think it's just that it's not being talked about. That's a problem. It's like nobody's being transparent about it. It's like just don't drink the fucking water.
You should have a big people assign the petition and have a couple of politicians up there in the way and greet them, know who they are, and then just serve them water.
Water, right.
And he goes, "There's water for every god drink," and have them drink it. And he goes, "That's your shitty water right there.
Yeah.
That's came straight out of the tap.
That came straight out of the tap. Yeah. Just for you guys.
Yep. That'd be a harsh reality. I hope.
Welcome to Wichita. but it's the truth, though, man. I mean, there's so many things here in the RGB, and we're talking about that as far as the water supply. We down the lake, I've known for the longest time. Yeah. I go, "Bro, you don't go swimming out there. You don't go fish out there." And there's still people that go do it.
Are there signs in Spanish?
There are signs everywhere.
But are they in Spanish? Because I heard that that's how civil rights are violated. When you're not speaking the language or telling the language of the people that are most prevalent there, that is a civil rights violation. Not a human rights, a civil rights violation.
Yeah. I know when you're driving, I've been there in a long time. I don't go out there anymore. Hell no. That place gives me the heebie-jeebies now. But when we used to go out there used to be a yellow sign right when you drive in to your right on one side of the lake. It would tell you contamination, no fishing, no swimming.
Yeah.
On the bottom, I've never really read it. I don't know if it's in Spanish. Maybe it is in Spanish.
Yeah.
Or just weird lettering from aliens. I don't know what the hell
it is. It's Latin. It's close enough.
It says pig Latin, but I don't really read it. Yeah. Oh, well. Someone will explain to me, translate. No, but I mean, the signs are everywhere. When you go there, you make the turn to your left. That's there. To your right, there's one there. Wow. In the entrance, there's one there. It's la gente, bro. Yeah. It's la gente. No, it's not. I mean, not to say that, not to say that, they should have put it. No, they need to put it in Spanish. That's a violation of the right. They need to read that. You know, I can tell you, don't fish there. Don't fish here because it's contaminated with alligators. And then put it on the bottom, alligators here in Spanish and all that good stuff. You think that's going to stop them?
Nah.
No, they won't. They're still going to go in. Vamos a ver. Come on, bro. I mean, you have those. You have a couple of apples that are that naive to still do
and, it. And it's true because my grandpa fishes in the Aurora. He's 95. So when I was talking to the scientist, Jim White, he was saying, I was asking, well, how do I tell people that are 95 years old, don't go fishing in the Aurora? Like, he's made it. He's made it. He's fine. But everyone else is playing Russian roulette. So it's just...
Unfortunately, you can't worry about them. Yeah. You just can't. I mean,
they're on their way out.
Yeah, they're on their way out. You know, the same thing with people.
Let me pop your back. A ver, paga la luz. You see, you're glowing. Eh? No contamination.
It's the same thing with the people that have that attitude of, ya pa que, the same thing.
Yeah.
You just got to work past them. You know, get to the people who are willing to listen.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's a hard thing. Like I said, you're always going to have those naysayers, and what you're doing is a great thing, trying to get people to sign the petition, trying to look out for not just our kids, but their kids, our grandkids, and their kids in the future. 15 years is what you accumulated and what it would take to clean it up.
10 to 15 years.
10 to 15 years. I don't see why people shouldn't sign this petition.
I think Elon should take the brunt of the cost to fix up at least the Arroyo to be able to function out of Cameron County. Like, if his rockets are going to be making billions of dollars a year, it'll cost $500 to $1 billion to fix the Arroyo. That's one problem solved. Mm. Now you worry about the Rio Grande River. So it's just I because at some point, people are going to be asking, well, how do we fix it? I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Right, right.
But I can come up with some ideas. Right. And I don't know if they're stupid, but right. at least they're ideas. Right, nobody else is talking about ideas. So yeah. it will take about $500 million to $1 billion to fix up the Arroyo, to clean it up. And I think Elon should take the brunt of that because he's operating now SpaceX out of the Cameron County, the Rio Grande Valley. His rockets are going to affect a lot of people with the pollution that's going to be pushed up.
Look at the weather here, yeah. bro. So look at the clean weather.
Up at least the Arroyo, and you can blast your rockets over there.
Over there. Over there.
Yeah.
Kingsville. Shoot them over Kingsville. Over
there. So, I mean, I think it's a plausible thought to entertain.
It's crazy, and it's crazy. The RGV is slowly changing a lot through the years that we've lived through, you know, to the point where now we're seeing, and I'm looking at one of them right next to your computer right here in the back, so we see a lot of these alligators popping out all over the place now, yeah. man. They're moving.
There's one on 2nd Street in McAllen.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy.
I know. It's like, wait, was that an alligator or that a pimp? I didn't know what it was when I drove by, you know? It's right there. You got
the super skewer. That guy's from Oregon. He barbecues the alligators. Oh, so delicious. This is my buddy. Yeah. So he would have caught that thing, cooked it up.
Alligators are slowly realizing not to come anywhere near Hispanics. We will barbecue your ass.
Learn the hard way.
If you're watching the podcast, alligator, we will barbecue your ass and make boots after that, bro.
For real?
Y le voy una presa para la vieja. Listo, bro. Chicken. Contaminate the river. They go, we don't want the illegals crowd contaminated with alligators. Bro, you already got Juan on the other side making... Visitas, botas, purses, hats. It didn't work. But they look great.
Looks amazing.
It looks amazing. I'm buying a pair. But yeah, man. But by the way, we're coming up to it. We're already an hour into the podcast. But was this awesome?
Oh, my God. Turn it off already.
No, but last but not least, Josh, you're going through this whole... Let me show you your picture here of this last one here, of the actual documentary you're working on. It's called Before We Drown, the True Story, documented by Joshua Morales. We should expect this in September, correct?
September, yeah. I'll be doing some private shows in different cities across the Rio Grande Valley mm-hmm. until September, because I can show it privately. I mm-hmm. can't show it publicly because it could get disqualified under technicality.
Right,
so,
right.
Keep a lookout. I'll share the information with you. I can share it with your audience, and if they can make it. Yeah. It'll be good because JV, the civil engineer that comes out on documentary, mm-hmm. will also be with me talking about what he's doing with the RGV Drainage Coalition, okay. which is being able to help the infrastructure update it in the entire Rio Grande Valley. So they're doing really good work mm-hmm. Because they understand, too, that it's a ticking time bomb.
It is a ticking time bomb, man. And we're the ones who are going to get the backlash of it later on down the yeah. line. If not us, our yeah. kids are going to get yeah. the backlash. Yeah. It's just going to get worse. And by the time you know, we're all going to be a bunch of minions walking around all the place, all yellow. And go, oh, look, a new race. But it is what it is, man. And all we can do is just sign that petition, move forward, and try to make the RGV a beautiful place again, yeah. Like it was back way before we had all this.
1940s chemical. Is when they started polluting. There you go. So, it's been a long time.
We're living in. Oh, wow. We actually are in a studio that was built in 1902, so oh, wow. I think we're in good hands right now. At least I think so. Is that mold? No.
That's lead, man.
That's lead, man. Look. No. But Josh, your socials for so all your social medias.
Yeah, it's under Joshua Morales. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram. I'm usually offending people all over Facebook. So, I mean, and by See? The way, if you come at me, I'm a master troll too. So I'll just troll your ass as well. As I mean, feel free.
Right. Do that, guys, bro. There you go. There's a QR code right there, guys. You can go and reach Josh. Find out all the special things that he's doing. If you want to check him out, check out the actual word and discussions high defunction discussions on his Facebook. It's a lot of entertainment, guys. Trust me, I know what I'm saying. And also, don't forget about this petition he also has right there. Click on that QR code and they'll take you straight there. Sign up. Don't be the problem, be the solution. It's what I like to say a lot, man.
Well said.
Yeah, it's the truth. Don't be the problem, be the solution. But Josh, all I can say, man, is that what you're doing as far as documentaries is freaking awesome, bro.
Thank you, man.
I can't wait to go home and fire up that Collapse movie, because like I said, I've always wanted to look for it. I could never find it.
Let me know what you
now
think.
Now that I got the link, yeah. I'm going to watch it. Oh, baby, we're watching this tonight. Hell, we are. all I can say is continue what you're doing. Keep bringing the facts out in the open. Someone has to do it.
Yeah.
Someone has to do it if nobody wants to step up to the swing the big bat. I mean, someone's have to do it, and you're doing it. So all power to you, man. Continue doing what you're doing.
Thank
and
you.
Keep promoting, man. Keep promoting. People need to know. People need to know what's going on. I know if anything else comes up in your side of the neighborhood that you want to promote, let us know. Throw it to our chat page or throw it to our podcast page on Facebook or on Instagram, and we'll share it like crazy.
Awesome. Appreciate
like
it.
Like wildfire.
Or if you want to come back and talk about it.
Yeah, just, you know. We'd love to talk to you.
I would love to come back once I get the petition to 10,000.
That'll work.
So it gives us something to work towards. I think it's
Then call me in about an hour. Bro, I'm coming back this way. What the hell?
Because it will be a big deal if it gets to 10,000, because right. That's when it'll get in front of lawmakers. They just can't ignore it anymore.
Yeah.
Is there 10,000 residents in the Rio Grande Valley have the same concerns?
We're up for re-election, aren't we?
Yeah. Pretty soon.
Don't come looking for me because you're not coming to my podcast. And you come talk, not get ponle, bro. Ponle, bro. Free steaks. Well, maybe I'll think about that. Damn you and those steaks.
Really? That's the bride?
He got us with the Dairy Queen.
That's the bride?
He got us with the Dairy Queen, bro.
Not even a botan. Okay.
Not even a botan.
I'm out.
Nah. No, Josh, like I said, once again, man, thank you so much for coming out. Playing with us today. Good luck to you, man. Hopefully everything works out for you, man, and get all those petitions for
awesome.
You,
appreciate it. Thank you all for having
man.
Me.
No problem, man. Anytime. Like I said, you're more than welcome to come back anytime you like.
Yeah.
Guys, that is our podcast for tonight. We have another episode next week on Monday night. That is with Abel Gonzalez del Toro. He will be here for, I think, the second time. No, it'll be a third interview because I interviewed him at the South Texas International Film Festival. This will be the third time in our pod. On Monday, unfortunately, Chu won't be here.
No.
I will be here, and I'll probably bring my little brother with me to join me for a couple of questions on that.
Ew.
I know he was telling me he wanted us to be in one of his films for something. I don't know. Something about me being a radio DJ and you being a Make-A-Wish Foundation. I don't know. I just it was just something he was talking about, and I said, hey,
oh, my God.
I'm
that
down.
Is the role I was born to play.
Just like what Troy Bing said, buddy, whatever you're doing, I don't know what he has, but good job.
The specific words were, if doctors can cure this, then, you know.
We God can fix the God. RGB. We can fix the RGB.
We can do anything. We can live on the moon. We can move to Mars. Anything is possible.
Oh, it's going to happen.
It will happen. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We'll see you next week on Monday, 7:30 p.m. here on the TuneIn Podcast again. Any last words? Chew.
I'm going to take my leg off. And sign the petition.
Please
sign the petition. Otherwise, I will take my leg off.
Please don't. Please sign the petition. You don't want to see it. Well, I don't want to see it. But sign us off, Chew.
I didn't chew.
I am Wu. We will see you next week, 7:30 p.m. on